A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're an actor and writer who's worked on the upcoming HBO Max show, The Sex Lies of College Girls. It's Beth Appel.
Yay.
Hello. Yeah.
Wow. Woo. Nice. Coming in hot.
Yeah. Former college girl myself.
Nice.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Oh, is this autobiographical?
Well, I didn't have sex in college, but otherwise, yes.
I see.
Interesting. Was that a choice or
no, just in a theater department
and it was a lot of gay men?
You know what? I can't even blame it on it being mostly gay men. The straights also wanted nothing to do with me.
Fool.
It must be hard that I imagine light speed changes in the culture. In terms of like the hookup culture. But did they do like a crash course and like, all right, this is TikTok. This is how TikTok works. Did you get anything? Did you like when you got this Sex Lies of College Girls job?
No, I took it upon myself to
see.
You know, subscribe to 17magazine.com.
Really?
Okay.
That's behind a paywall.
That's what college girls are reading.
Well, I get a free email from them every week. And it's only about Jenners and Kardashians. Like, it's only ever them, and it's usually about them, whatever bikini they last wore. So that's what 17 is up to. That's what 17 year olds are interested in for everyone.
I thought it'd be like the hottest new sweaters for fall or something.
Oh yeah, 17 year olds love sweaters.
I think they might. Who doesn't love a sweater?
I think
a
fall that they sweater. Would say sweaters are chuggy.
Oh, but no, I don't think you're supposed to. Even Chugi is dated now, I think. I think that's dating yourself.
What?
No one can say Chugi. Yeah, Chugi's out. It hasn't been in like 2 months.
Excuse me?
Chugi is now basic. To use Chugi is Chugi.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
You just say someone's an asshole or annoying. Like, stick with the classics.
Say they're canceled, that's all.
Okay, yes. But okay, got it.
Now, Beth, I understand there's a rumor going around that you're a fan of musicals. Is this true?
Guilty.
Have you been able to see one since things have like slowly gotten back to normal? Live performance is slowly returning?
No, I don't think I'm at a point where I would go to a live performance. I guess maybe outdoors, but I haven't. But I did in a fit of like, you know, quarantine mania, I purchased a ticket to a streaming production, high school production of Your Good Man Charlie Brown last year.
Oh, fun.
And I did watch a high school do Your Good Man Charlie Brown with masks on, with little clear parts of the masks so you could see their mouths.
So you knew it wasn't just a recording that was playing. You could actually tell.
Yeah, exactly. So my call, I did Your Good Man Charlie Brown in high school and college, of course. And my college friends who I did it with, again, not a lot of sex, but my friends who I did musical theater with and I like texted each other while we watched a New Jersey production of Your Good Man Charlie Brown.
That's fun.
Your cast of Your Good Man Charlie Brown didn't fuck at the cast party? That seems crazy to me. It's such a horny musical.
Yeah, everyone else was probably fucking and I was probably just eating like pretzel rods.
Who were you in Good Man Charlie Brown?
I was Lucy both times.
I was going to say, yeah. You're obviously a Lucy.
Okay, rude response.
Lucy's amazing.
Classic Van Pelt.
Classic Van Pelt. Like, that's just what Lucy would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does seem weird that adults would do that play. Because there's something off-putting to me about whenever an adult plays a child in anything. Oh,
then don't go see Dear Evan Hansen.
I know, right? Did you see him at the Met Gala? He looked so sad. Like, he had read all the reviews, but the photos of him, he looked so like dead behind the eyes. And like, I felt bad for him for the first time.
It is sad. Like, I think, you know, like, let's not feel too bad for any of these people. But I do think that's overlooked is that they're, because, you know, now I'm working in this world of like adults playing like college students.
Oh, right.
It does take a toll, like a mental toll on these like people in their late 20s or 30s. Like, I think they at least feel really bad and are scared that people are going to make fun of them.
But this
imagine social media existed during Greece. That would have been insane.
My friend sent me a Yahoo News article today where they were listing like older people that played high school students.
Like, Stalker Channing was like 30.
And she was number 2 on the list. It was like Stalker Channing was 33 when she played Rizzo in Grease or something. But she looked older.
She looked older than 33.
Don't you think? She looked like a 40 to 50 year old.
But generally, like, people in the 70s looked older anyway, like, regardless, I feel, in a lot of ways, like, just like the styling, the hair, a lot of like people just looked older than they really were. That was like
30 back then is very different than 30 now.
Yes. You have to adjust for inflation.
Exactly.
There's age inflation.
Yeah. Well, also like in the movie Grease, they're like, all right, so the adults have to be Sid Caesar and Eve Arden, who are in their 80s. So that these 30 year olds look like they could be.
Well, look at the trajectory of our cinematic Aunt May's. They start with Rosemary Harris, and now we're with Marissa Tomei.
That's progress.
Is that progress? I don't know. Why can't we have an elderly Aunt May and still should be a silver fox?
She would have been like a great, great Aunt May, though, I think, in reality. Like, she seems kind of 80, and Peter Parker is supposed to be a high school student, which I don't mind, but it seems to be like, okay.
You're not afraid of an older Aunt May. It
doesn't bother. I'm not threatened by an older woman.
You seem afraid.
Yeah, chill to the bone, I would say.
It's his most frightening villain in all of his rogues gallery is his Aunt May.
Old Aunt May.
Can't get her. But, you know, speaking of frightening older women, today we're talking about a movie called, I don't know why I said it like this, we're talking about The Emperor's New Groove. John, what's the deal with The Emperor's New Groove?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with The Emperor's New Groove. It was directed by Mark Dindal with a screenplay by David Reynolds and a story by Chris Williams and Dindal. And set in an Incan empire, The Emperor's New Groove follows self-centered Emperor Cuzco, who is transformed into a llama by his ex-advisor Isma. For the emperor to change back to a human, he trusts the village leader Pacha, who escorts him back to the palace. The voice cast features David Spade, John Goodman, Eartha Kitt, Patrick Warburton, and Wendy Malick. It was released on December 15th, 2000, and made $169.6 million off a budget of $100 million. Roger Ebert gave the film 3 out of 4 stars, calling it a goofy slapstick cartoon with the attention span of Donald Duck, adding that it doesn't have the technical polish of a film like Tarzan, but it is a reminder that the classic cartoon look is a beloved style on its own. Lisa Schwartzbaum of Entertainment Weekly gave the film a B+, calling it hip, funny, mostly non-musical, decidedly non-epic family picture, which turns out to be less of a hero's journey and more of a meeting of sitcom minds. It was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Original Song for My Funny Friend and Me by Sting. And a direct-to-video sequel, Conk's New Groove, was released in 2005. And an animated spinoff, The Emperor's New School, aired on the Disney Channel from 2006 to 2008. And that is the deal with The Emperor's New Groove.
So, Beth, we asked you to pick a movie. Why The Emperor's New Groove?
You know, it's one of my favorite movies. I would say like top five faves. It's in my fave five.
Fave five.
And why do I have to have a better reason? I just think it's like funny. It's
you
fun.
Like it because it's you like it, I guess.
One thing for me that's important about a movie is that it's an hour and a half long. And
sure, I'm with
when
you.
A movie is longer than that, I'm automatically way less likely to watch it and enjoy it. But if a movie is an hour and a half long,
well, this one's right an hour and 22.
That's amazing. Even hour and a half long movies, sometimes I'm like, I could have cut 8 minutes out of that. So
would you, do you think like, sometimes I feel like if I don't know that I'd rather not know the running time going in sometimes. Cause you know, like a good movie, if an hour and 50 minutes or even 2 hours, you won't think about, you won't notice like, cause I was engaged the whole time, whatever.
Sure.
But sometimes when you know, you're like, oh, I feel like it's only been an hour, but we got to have another, I still feel this other hour coming. That can be tough.
That's a good point. I think that would be a better tactic than me. Like the last movie I went to see in a theater, as the like lights dimmed after the previews, I in a panic turned to the people I was with. I was like, how long is this movie? Because I realized God. I didn't know. And I just don't like, I don't know. I don't like to not know. I like,
sounds like a control
same way. I'm the same way. I like knowing because there's just something about my brain that just likes to know. It doesn't matter how long is left or whatever it is, but I just want to know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be like when we had to watch things on DVD players or VHS, you would get the constant run. You would see a counter going by. Nowadays, these streaming services these kids are using, you don't know anything. You don't know where you are in a movie.
But you didn't know how long it was before. You just knew how long.
No, but you knew how far in you were, you know.
Sure.
I'll like constantly hover my mouse over to like bring up that counter, like see, you know, if I'm on my computer or whatever, how sure. much longer do we have?
Oh, it's not your pet mouse you're not picking up to see how long the movie is in front of the TV?
My external computer mouse.
I see, that makes more sense.
But I'll pause the TV too. I'm not above pausing the TV too. To just be like, oh, how much longer?
I put the timer on my phone so I can just check my phone whenever I want.
Wow. A lot of work.
Oh, wow. That's next.
It's not
level.
A lot of work at
I
all.
I like that.
A second screen experience just to see how far into The Emperor's New Groove you are.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way the movies are becoming more immersive, I feel, is, you know, we're...
right. It's a bit of a choose your own adventure. Right. Do you want to watch your phone or on the big screen?
Yeah.
Different
so, Beth, how many
follow.
Times did you see this in the theater? Like, how many times do you think you've seen it?
No, I don't think I ever saw it in the theater because I think it was basically a flop theater-wise. And so I was one of the horde of, you know, its post-theater life. So I must
it's
have
now
seen
like
it.
It's now like a big cult hit, yeah.
Yeah, I've probably seen it like 5 to 10, maybe 5. It's like a holiday watch. You know, you watch it around the holidays. It's not a holiday movie, but you watch it around the holidays.
It feels more like a summertime movie. You know, a jungle.
Holidays in the summer.
Like
no,
a July
I'm sorry,
4th.
When I said holiday, I meant 4th of July.
I see. That's on me. I shouldn't assume.
Yeah, I was thinking
are you
Labor
generally
Day,
a
4th of July.
Got it. Are you generally a fan of like Disney animation?
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah,
sound like
I like
you are, but okay.
I like all the Disney movies. I didn't like Hunchback, which I think is one of the movies that leading up to this caused like this movie to become such a headache. Like, you know, they had to remake it a bunch.
They retooled it.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was because Hunchback is bad.
they're like, this movie's so bad it's gonna ruin the next three movies we make.
Exactly. It's like Rent Live. They canceled the next live musical.
To be fair, though, has there ever been a good version of Rent?
Oh, Mark.
I've been
Puckish. For someone who's named after the lead character in Rent, that's a very, yeah. very rude.
I'm flattered you think I would be named after a character in Rent, implying I was born after that debacle happened, but I assure
yes,
you
Rent,
I,
that notorious flop Rent.
Yes, exactly.
It's not for me. I got through 20 minutes of the movie.
Well, the movie
that's
is
fine.
Okay, okay, fair enough. Well, sounds like you're a huge fan of this movie, The Emperor's New Groove, but let's find out where John is coming from.
I can't wait.
Ooh.
John, what'd you make of this movie? Had you seen it before? What do you think?
I had seen it before. My husband and I did a little project where we watched all of the Disney animated films in order that they came out. So that was the first time I watched it a couple of years ago. And yeah, I didn't see it when it came in theaters. I'd heard a bunch of people say, I remember when it came out, people were like, oh, it's not a musical, because this was sort of like on the run of all these like big Disney musicals, movie musicals. Yeah. And so people, and you know, it was sort of like Eartha Kitt and it's not a musical. How dare they? But a lot of people were also like, but it's actually really funny. And I didn't see it. And then I finally watched it for them. Yeah, I think it's really fun. This was the second time I saw it. It was super enjoyable. Really great. It is. It's sort of like if just the genie from Aladdin had a movie. It's just that sort of attention deficit as sort of the script goes. But I think it's really delightful. It's basically a five person movie. Like there's really just five main characters throughout the whole thing.
It's like Friends if Phoebe died.
Exactly. Yes. Phoebe specifically. Yes. Yeah. It was. I think it's super fun. I really enjoy it. How about you, Mark? What is your history with The Emperor's New Groove?
I don't know if I had ever seen it before. I remember when I pulled it up on my Disney Plus app, I don't mean to brag, but that's how I watched it. I did ask me like to resume it. So I think I had watched at some point 45 minutes of it and I think I fell asleep. So this was the first time I had ever seen it before, but I liked how like slight it was and silly it was. And that is like just pure, has that fun anarchic cartoon energy. It's not trying to be a Broadway musical. It's just, well, what can a cartoon do that other movies can't do? And I thought it's really funny. It's great. And Eartha Kitt is incredible. Yeah, I mean, there's reason enough. You could tell she's having so much fun in that voice booth. She's just making a meal out of every single line she gets. And her animation is so delightful. Her character animation
really
is so great.
Yeah, I love.
So I think it's a blast.
And when she's like looking out the closet door, it's just her like bloodshot eyeball poking through. Love it. So funny.
She's incredible. Well, Beth, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? Does that make sense? No, probably not, but it'll make sense by the time we get to it. So quit freaking out. My God. Yeah, anyways, this is our current top five rankings of the gayest movies ever. So number five with an 89.70%, The Apple. Number four with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number three with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. Number two with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one with a 94.83%, still unbeatable, Female Trouble.
Okay, Beth, if you had to guess right now, how well do you think The Emperor's New Groove is going to do?
Well, you know, I knew about this ranking system going in and I thought, should I pick a movie based on that? I said, no, I'm just going to pick a movie I like to watch that's under an hour and a half.
And I like your thinking. I appreciate that.
But then
someone
as
to watch
I was watching it, I was like, this is kind of gay. So do I think it'll do better than the movie Apple, which I don't know what it is? I don't know.
The Apple.
You should watch
it. You should see The Apple.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Never heard of it. But
it's a musical.
What?
Terrible
musical. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I will watch it then. So should I say a number I think it will get or like?
Sure.
Or I just think like it'll do better. I think it'll do like better than 50%.
Okay.
50%. I will say our current. No, I think that's 50-50.
Right,
you're
right
safe.
In the middle. That's, I would, yeah, that's hardly bold.
It's the opposite of bold. I would say it's tepid. Our current highest rated animated film right now is The Little Mermaid with a 77.02%. So that may be.
What do you think it'll, how do you think it'll do in relation to Little Mermaid?
I think it will beat The Little Mermaid.
Okay. Interesting. Well, let's find out. All right. So for our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Beth, how would you rate The Emperor's New Groove on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? Is there anyone?
Can I say my reasoning?
Yeah,
please.
We can talk about it.
10. Go. Okay. So
speed
round. There's, you know, like John said, it's sort of like a five-hander. And I believe that four of those five characters are queer. And so I'm going to go.
Which one do you think isn't queer?
The wife.
Oh, gotcha. Wendy Malick.
The pregnant wife.
Oh, but Pacha is? Her husband is?
I think he's bi.
Really? What are you basing that on?
There's like a sort of friendship almost. Will they, won't they energy between John Goodman and David Spade, I would say.
Yeah, and there's all those moments of like, ew, I'm not kissing you. Yuck. Like, come on.
Oh, that's, you mean gay panic jokes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that there are at least two of those. And you think in my experience,
sure.
The more of that.
Where there's panic, there's a fire.
Exactly. But sometimes straight people are just homophobic sometimes.
That does happen sometimes, sure.
Probably most of the time.
I can't deny that.
Yes.
That's true. That's probably true.
I do say the little old man who throws the emperor's groove off stuck out to me. Because I thought, you could see him at like a Palm Springs brunch, I feel like.
Oh, definitely.
Totally.
A little tiny, wearing like, little gay man.
Like a harness.
Wearing the same thing we see him in this movie. Basically a robe, you know, what do you call those things? A muumuu.
Sure.
But like a caftan.
A caftan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Kronk is gay though. I think Kronk, Patrick Warburton, he's a total muscle queen to me. He's like, totally like devoted to Eartha Kitt. He doesn't seem to have any sexual interest in anyone else. He just cares. He's like a really good chef. I think,
you ever seen Top Chef? Most of those good chefs are, most of them are straight.
Yeah, but none of them with his shoulders or his pectoral muscles. Mm-hmm. The whole package, when you put it together, you're like, oh yeah.
But like nobody really has any sexual desire in this movie. Like it doesn't really factor into it at all.
So it's not a horny movie. Also like on the LGBTQIA
that's true.
Spectrum, right?
Not heteronormative. Sure, you could definitely say that if you want.
Okay, well, that felt like a trap.
you want to risk getting canceled?
If you absolutely want to say that on a podcast publicly. So yeah, I'm going 80, an 80.
80, wow.
I think Kronk to me is definitely gay. Eartha Kitt, maybe, why not? I agree, David Spade and John Goodman have some sort of like, because also David Spade, they're like, we've picked out some wives for you. And he's like, no. He just comes up with bullshit excuses for why none of them will do.
Yeah.
I won't go as high as 80, but I'll go 60.
60. I got to go 30. I think you're both insane. They didn't come up. They're just more like buddy comedy. It didn't like, there was nothing like overt or horny in their interact. They just felt like buddies.
I don't know. Like David Spade's like, I'm going to build a summer house right next to your house so we can hang out.
Well, they're friends.
Yeah. And then he's like dancing. There's no sexual. With basically a magic mic, like shirtless, like all the guards are shirtless.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, I'm sticking with 30, giving an average of 56.67, which is crazy. Our next category for a movie with no actual gay people in it. Our next category, gay icons.
Well, Eartha Kitt, definitely.
Hello.
Yeah.
What about Wendy Malick? I mean, she's got a hot in Cleveland.
I mean, just shoot me, John.
She's like a handsome woman. Like, I feel like she could be.
I mean, we love Wendy Malick. Don't get me wrong. Dream on, remember?
Amazing. She's one of my faves.
Is she one of your faves?
I do really, really like her.
She's, you know, she's reliable.
Yep. And what do gays love more than reliability?
You know what I did think was like kind of a gay icon is like, you know, Disney animated movies themselves. You know, we have the Disney gays. John's a Disney gay.
I beg your pardon. Because I had a season pass to Disneyland, which you also
have. Yeah.
So you're also, but you just want to accuse me of being that.
Well, I'm not going to talk.
You have Disney art in your room behind you.
Yeah.
It's not an accusation. You're saying it like it's an insult. I'm just
you
like.
You said it like it was an insult. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm not a narcissist.
You're not.
I have to talk, talk about somebody
else.
Mark.
Everyone, you just wanted to excuse someone else because you're so nice.
Thank you.
Just to check, is Sting a gay icon at all or no?
No.
Okay.
No. Anyone who puts out an album called The Soul Cages is not a gay icon.
If his musical had done better, perhaps, but no, okay. It was not a success.
No, I mean, we love Sting. I think we're all fans. Like, sure, he seems harmless, inoffensive, fun.
I would say I'm Sting neutral, but sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't sing a single Sting song.
Sure you could.
The Police.
He's in The Police?
Yeah, he's
the Beyonce of The Police.
That's true.
Okay, now that I understand.
Okay, gotta speak in a language she understands.
Do I have to say the number first? I'm scared that Mark's gonna be mad about it again.
I undoubtedly will, no matter what you say, so don't worry about it.
Well, I think that the scenes with Eartha Kitt are half the movie, so I'm gonna say 50.
50.
I think Eartha Kitt is a huge gay icon, and I'll throw a few extra points for Randy Malik, so I will go 74.
74. Yeah, I think it's pretty big. I'm gonna go 70.
I mean, I think it's too bad that this movie wasn't more successful, because I do think Eartha Kitt's character would be up there with, we would talk about her like we talk about Ursula. Like,
and we're always talking about Ursula.
Yeah.
I think the movie is like big enough now. I think like if you go to Disneyland now, they'll have like pins of, how do you say
I
her name?
I have a Yizma shirt and stuff. And I have socks.
They
I
got
have
merch.
A shirt that says no touchy.
Funny.
And I have socks with the llama on them, both gifts from my significant other.
So. And you told him, don't keep the receipt.
I said, tear up the receipt.
These socks?
These are a keeper.
The movie does seem set up to be a ride. Like there's like literally a roller coaster in the movie. It's surprising that it's not a ride.
Well, it got a 64.67, which is 4.67 points higher than the House Bunny. Pretty good.
Okay.
All right, our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Oh.
Well, we just got those it's not a lot of, compared to like Little Mermaid, this suffers in relation to Little Mermaid.
Right, there's no King Triton. But I do think Kronk is sort of definitely like he's the same silhouette as King Triton, but we don't see him with his shirt off.
Comments about his body, you know, he likes talks about his body and his measurements and stuff.
Right.
And you got those guards, your aforementioned guards that look like they're going to like a Patriots game with the body paint.
We see Pacha like with his little caftan off.
Right.
Pacha's cute.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone voiced by John Goodman is going to be, you know, like a hot dad.
Apparently, originally Owen Wilson.
Yeah, back when it was a whole other different movie, but yeah.
Yeah.
A worse movie.
I mean, David Spade is sort of like a twink type. It's not my type.
But he's not presented as like hot or anything. Like he's not drawn that way. He's not, there's no Jessica Rabbit of Cuzco.
Sure.
You know.
Fair, fair.
Yeah, that's a movie I'd like to see.
Well, what do you want to give this for the male gaze?
I don't think there's a lot going on there for the male gaze. I'm going to go 20.
20.
Yeah, I'll go 24.
24. I'll go 18. Given an average of 20.67, which is 3 points higher than the Chipmunk Adventure, which we just did last week. That's pretty good. And that has a man tanning in a pool. All right, our next category. I think you make up some points here. Entrances with pizzazz.
Oh,
pretty endless. Everything.
Everything.
It's mostly entrances with pizzazz.
Like even going in and out of the kitchen at that diner place.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah. Tom Jones, like entering as a theme song guy, just like on top of a cake or inside of a cake.
Boom, baby.
Boom, baby. Yizma. You say her name Yizma? Is that how you say
Yizma?
It? Yizma. Yizma getting out of the palanquin or on the throne, going into that secret lab. All the boom, baby, like when that's like a runner, the entrance with pizzazz runner.
Definitely. Yeah, the
her first entrance with our pizzazz runner.
John Goodman swinging in, doing a Tarzan yell.
So many.
This is chock full of them.
Chock full. So what do you think, Beth?
I'll go 90.
90.
I will also go 90.
Yeah, I'll go 90. I'm not mad at that. Giving an average of 90, which is almost more than double Chipmunk Adventure's pathetic 42. All right, our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety would Emperor's New Groove give Mike Pence? our former vice president. Current, if you believe the big lie.
Yeah, yes, my vice. What was the thing that gave him anxiety? What was the thing he was shitty
being
about?
Alone with a woman.
He couldn't be alone with another, with a woman who wasn't his wife.
Right. Calls his wife mother.
Very conservative.
Man. Disgusting man. He's conservative. Yeah, he's very famously conservative.
Famously conservative. That helps you plot his anxiety.
I don't think this would give him anxiety.
I did a little research to help us out with this.
Okay. Ooh.
I went to one of my favorite websites, ChristianSpotlightOnTheMovies.com, okay. And I looked up this movie. They gave it 4 out of 5 stars and said its moral quality was positive.
Huh.
So for contrast, they recently reviewed the new Amazon Prime Cinderella, and that moral quality was offensive.
Oh, dear.
Well, because she gets with the prince, but they don't get married at the end. They just decide to like travel like the world. That's one of the reasons they don't. And there's some promiscuous dancing and dick jokes.
Oh, I wasn't going to watch it, but maybe I will.
Now
I'm interested.
Promiscuous dancing? Well, you know what? There are a lot of like unmarried people who don't seem to have a plan to like get married and start a family.
Well, also
in this movie?
This was the first
new group, but there's also no couples. They're not like in romantic relationships.
Well, that's not true.
Exactly.
Actually, John Goodman and Wendy Malick are a married couple. And in fact,
yeah.
Wendy Malick's character is pregnant. And this was the first time that there was a pregnant woman in a Disney animated film.
No, I'm saying, that's not offensive to anybody.
Well, I would say though that Mike Pence probably is generally nervous around pregnant women.
Like they should be in like a red tent somewhere off
they should
the
go
back
off
40
somewhere.
Or something.
Yeah, he wants them in a red tent when they're not getting their period because they're pregnant.
Right. So, yeah. So what would you give this on the Mike Pence anxiety scale?
Oh, like a 10.
A 10.
I think he'd eat it up.
He'd love, this is something for every, this can bring America together. This is the Dolly Parton of Disney animated movies.
I will give it a 15.
15. Yeah, I'll give it an 11, giving an average of 12, which is the lowest we've had since the creation of this category, which was only, this is only the third time. All right. Our next category, going to make up some points here. Hell on heels. What do we mean? Feisty women.
I mean,
Yzma. She's pretty awesome.
I also think Wendy Malick, she's sort of like, she's helping out. She's not taking guff.
She's extremely feisty.
Yeah.
She's like,
extremely?
You march your big old butt right back to that guy and you tell him we're not selling our house.
Right.
I do think the family, the mom and the little kid scenes are my least favorite of this. Like, just get back to being funny. I don't need you to be cute.
Yeah.
Be irreverent and acerbic and more like manic energy. Like, these are like too cutesy.
Also,
let's move along.
Scene where the kids like are dreaming the things that are actually happening.
Yeah, they're like psychic children.
What the fuck is this? Yeah.
Yeah, what is that? Does that have, maybe in Kronk's new groove that pays off? Like they start foreseeing disasters or something. Conquistadors are coming. We need to do something.
There's also the waitress. She's pretty sassy.
Loved her.
Oh,
Patty Deutsch.
A classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a lot of fun.
Are there any other women in this movie?
No.
I mean, there's like the pinata lady. There's Cheryl Lynn plays woman number 2.
Oh, great role.
Higher build than Mickey McGowan, who plays woman number 1. Interesting.
Maybe she had more lines.
Countless women in this.
Yeah,
countless. They're numbered. You can't count them.
You can't count them if they're numbered.
And there are a few actresses listed as various. So, you know, but yeah.
But are all these women feisty? I don't think so.
No. I would say that every woman who is featured, which is 3 of them, is very feisty.
Well, there's also the little girl, the daughter.
Oh, she's feisty
That's
as
true.
Hell.
I was more precocious, I would say, than feisty.
That's a fine line.
Wiggling that tooth is not feisty.
Yeah, but she's like blowing it in and out with her breath.
That's feisty?
Or just... Sure. I don't know.
Well, what do you want to give this for Hell on Heels?
Hell on Heels, 75.
75.
I'll go 85. I mean, Eartha Kitt is just...
Yeah. I will split the difference between you and give it an 80. Give it an average of 80, which is 25 points higher than The Chipmunk Adventure, but 16 points lower than The House Bunny.
Right.
The comparison to Chipmunk Adventure makes me laugh every time. I don't know why.
Have you seen The Chipmunk Adventure?
No.
You're okay. You're fine. Although I just announced it today. People have heard our episode, but I was like, people are losing their minds over the Chipmunk Adventure. I'd never seen it before, but I think it's one a lot of people saw as kids, obviously, but are like still, I didn't know there was such nostalgia behind the Chipmunk Adventure.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I feel like led to a lot of pets being named Alvin, Simon, and Theodore.
And then like flush down the toilet after like a month when you're like, oh, we have to feed these things?
Yeah.
All right, our next category, chosen families.
Mm.
I mean, they're more duos. There's like a duo. There's like two duos, but that's not really a chosen. Those are just friends. I think you need more than two people for like a family.
Well,
unless you're like romantic relationship, you know?
Really?
I feel like Kuzco is like adopted by the John Goodman family. So I mean,
at the end,
it's not
the
like
very end.
Right.
It's not like a theme of the movie or anything.
Well, it's like lonely people. Yeah, it's more friendship, I think you're right, than family. But then the big little tableau, great HBO
the
show.
Big little, love that show. Monterey was so beautiful in that.
The big little tableau at the end is truly just like a family. And now
a
Kuzco's
friend of the
there.
Family.
Right.
But he doesn't live with them. He's just like visiting.
Yeah.
He has a house
vacation home.
Yeah. Families have to live together.
In my book.
Wow. Yeah, it builds to it, but yeah, I don't think
not really
a theme
of the movie. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what would you give this for chosen families?
Yeah, I'll go 20.
I'll go 15.
15. Yeah, I'll go 12. Giving an average of 15.67, which would you believe is 12 points lower than the Chipmunk Adventure. All right, our next category, macabre. How macabre is Emperor's New Groove? Well, there's secret labs, poisons.
Secret labs, poisons, potions.
Getting turned into a llama is like body horror, I would say.
Right. A lot of people almost die.
There's a funeral.
Yeah.
Right.
We see Kuzco's funeral.
Yeah, and all the styling of the city when he's gone, and it's like now Eastmas City is kind of macabre.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Also, all these people these actors should not be playing Incans.
It was a different time. Yeah.
We knew, we just didn't care. We knew it was wrong, but we didn't care because nobody complained.
Right.
Because no one had
a voice.
Really
have social media. Right.
It does feel like at the point at which they were putting in a pinata gag, they should have stopped and been like, oh, I guess this is set in South America. Should we?
Yeah, this is a different country.
Should we do something about that? Is it macabre to like drink a bug at a restaurant?
I would say so.
I don't know.
Will that happen?
I mean, it's not like huge.
Is it intentional?
A couple points. Yeah, when they order the stink bugs and he cracks them open and sucks them with a straw.
I don't know. We eat sushi and chicken.
And isn't that macabre?
I don't know. Not really.
Sushi? I think so.
He's like chomping down on like the husk of a giant bug.
Well, they say that's the future of protein is ground up like grasshoppers and bugs and things. It's better for
that's
the environment.
True. You know what? If they weren't eating bugs, it would be macabre.
Thank you. Yes. If they went to Black Angus, that would be chilling. So what do you want to give this for macabre?
I would say like a 25.
25. Not particularly a dark movie.
Yeah, I'll also give it a 25.
25. I'll give it a 20. I mean, it's pretty lighthearted. It's all played for laughs, which I really like. I'm giving it a 23.33. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. Well, I mean, we get that classic Disney animated polish.
Yeah.
There's some fun lightning at the beginning. The jaguar chase looks great. Funeral.
Oh, yeah, his
dramatic
face in the bat
sunlight.
Cave.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of pretty, especially compared to like the Chipmunk Adventure from last week. You're like, oh, this look, now this looks
this
pretty.
Has a budget.
This, yeah, this had that Disney money.
Yeah, it's like, I think one of the things I like about it is that it's so almost like simple looking, like it's a lot more representative than realistic. I think that is like cool. I don't know what counts as lighting, I guess.
In animation, it's tough, right?
Yeah.
What does your heart tell you?
My heart tells me 40.
40.
Yeah, that sounds right. I will listen to your heart and go 40 as well.
I'm going to also listen to Beth's heart. And it's giving it a 40, which is 2 points higher than the House Bunny, which only got a 38 in dramatic lighting.
Okay.
My heart just grew 3 sizes.
Wow. Well, it is the holidays.
You know, I bet the Grinch would have loved Halloween. That's right up his alley.
Yeah, you'd think.
Anyways, that's a thought for a different day. Our next category, vibrato.
So for this, in addition to literal vibrato, we mean anytime they take a moment and they give it a little extra, zhuzh it up, give it more than it needs, but you like it.
Oh, I love that.
I think this is mostly vibrato to me.
Yeah, a lot of like breaking the fourth wall is feels vibrato.
They're right. Putting a lot of sauce on it.
Definitely.
In every moment.
It's mostly, it's more sauce than meat. You might say.
You could say that.
Sustainable.
It's sustainable.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, this is a really abstract concept. What a what a mind bender.
Oh no. Are you still with it? We'll I'll be your guide through this. Okay.
My arm is going numb.
Like tonally, like it's so like the pace of it is so much, and the comedy is so much like zippier than, you know, like
definitely
your Pocahontas, your Tarzans, which feels right, so right. much more like traditional. This feels so much has like this manic energy, which makes it fun.
Yeah. I'll say a 65.
I think this movie is mostly vibrato. I mean, the whole thing about like the running gag of like the wrong lever, pulling the wrong lever before they go into the, I think the entire restaurant scene is vibrato. I think David Spade arguing with his own voiceover is vibrato. I think this movie is sort of built like without, if you take out all of like that sort of like jokey point, like jokiness of it, it would probably be like a 15 minute movie. Yeah. I will give it, I'm going to give it a 91.
Wow. 91. Also, doesn't like Eartha Kitt's voice alone have tons of
that
vibrato?
Purr? Sure.
Mm. I mean, her iconic purr. I'll give it an 88. Give her an average of 81.33, which is 9.60 something points higher than The Chipmunk Adventure, but 15 points lower than The House Bunny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Our next category, footwork. What would you rate the footwork?
Oh, I think there's...
There's a ton.
Yeah. This has footwork up the wazoo.
Whoa. You're taking a foot up your wazoo. You never sit right. Can't ride a bike.
It takes a while.
You can't ride a bike after riding a bike.
Right. Thank you. Hurts. See, there's like the river dance joke when the girls are doing river dance. And I was like, oh yeah, river dance. That was a thing. Right. We used to be all into the river dance.
Yeah. Michael Flatley, that's over. Lord of the Dance.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, there's like every time someone walks, I feel like it's footwork, like, you know, like Kronk is like tiptoeing around everywhere.
There's a whole map.
Using that, like leaning against each other to walk up the sides of to scale the sides of the cliffs, running from the jaguars, or the kids' whole big pratfall sequence in the jungle. Like there's just this is chock full of footwork.
Yeah. Wow. I never thought about all the footwork in this movie.
Well, welcome to the show.
It'll never be the same again.
Yeah.
I would go 90.
90.
Yeah, I will go 90 as well. There's a whole lot of it.
90. Sure. I'll give it a 90. Give it an average of 90, which is 22.33 points higher than The Chipmunk Adventure.
Okay.
All right. This is the last of the canon categories. Now, Beth, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Emperor's New Groove to a gay person?
100.
100, like you gotta see.
You haven't seen The Emperor's New Groove.
Forget the celluloid closet. Put on Emperor's
like, am
New
I like
Groove.
Thinking about them being gay? In the
always,
moment?
Yes, constantly.
Like I'm like someone comes out to me and I'm like, you gotta watch Emperor's New Groove, or is it just like,
yeah,
like, or is it just like I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it?
Sure, you're talking to a gay person. Emperor's New Groove comes up. They say they haven't seen it.
Oh yeah, hundo.
100. You're in the seats to see Dear Evan Hansen at the Pacific Theaters.
Out of here.
Rest in peace.
I'll stand up and life. Make a speech. I'll say everyone in here needs to leave.
We need to see Ben's new wig. John, what do you want to give it?
I would say, I think it's really good. I think it's very funny. There are some gay people who would be like annoyed that it's, I will give it an 85.
Annoyed that what?
Finish that just thought. Like that it is too like, ADD. Like, it is very sort of like, it gets distracted a lot. And I think some gays would just like, they want more serious drama, or, you know, or upset it's not a musical. But
these,
I think overall,
boring,
I think
ass really gays.
There's some boring ass gays out there, definitely.
I would recommend this. I think it's like better than Pocahontas.
I agree.
I don't know if it's better than Hunchback, because I love that Hellfire song so much. That Hellfire song is so crazy and
it's
weird.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's very
which
weird.
Is why it's great.
It's like the least Disney thing in a Disney movie ever.
Which is why I think makes it worth watching, because I think that scene is so powerful and cool. And that guy's voice, Tony J, iconic. I'll give it a, I would recommend it. I'd say it's fun. Yeah, 82. It's like a good like Saturday morning movie, because it feels, has that, yeah. Just feels, it's real cartoony, go figure, but more cartoony. Yeah, right. I like the lack of prestige to it. Like, yes, it's not an Oscar baity one, and that's why it's stands
it
out.
It feels like a great like hangover movie too.
Yeah.
Oh, wake with like up, Bradley Cooper and Zach Galifianakis.
Exactly. Yeah.
You drank too much on 4th of July Eve.
Exactly.
You sit by your 4th of July
sort of gathering before you get ready for the afternoon tea dance you're going to. But let's just put Emperor's New Groove. We'll sort of keep the vibe going, but in a chill, cool way. Yeah, definitely.
All right. You survived the canon categories, Beth. Now we are into the wheel category.
So these categories are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So what's going to happen is this. We're going to spin it three times. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. Then it will be the host choice. So this time it's my turn. So I will pick a category that hasn't been come up on the wheel that we will judge it by. And then after that, you will come up with a category that will be put on the wheel and we will use to judge all future movies. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Beth, while that's spinning, do you have a favorite Disney musical, like an animated musical of all their musical?
Just all the basic ones, like maybe Little Mermaid. I think that's the one I've watched the most. Oh, Beauty and the Beast. Hard to beat that, too. That's
hard
really
to beat that.
One.
Classic. Yeah. All right. Well, this one comes from the man from Uncle, and it is All That Jazz, songs you would dance to in a club.
I mean, the opening is fun. It would be...
The Tom Jones
whatever
song
DJ
kind of
chose
fun.
That song, but you're like, ugh, too cute. Like, you're being too cutesy. You're being too like.
I'd rather that than the Sting song.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not dancing to that in a club at all.
No, I feel like even if they played the Tom Jones ones, that's like, well, let me check the line at the bathroom and let me see my drink. Although that's like, by everybody's thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you used to go to improv, like, you know, dance parties where like they play the Muppet Show theme. You're like, it's a good song, but wrong for the room.
That feels like a song you play at the beginning when like no one's drunk enough or like out dancing. Just
well, there's no stakes.
There's some energy, just some sort of this or that. And you're like, oh, I'm going to start to think about dancing, but not to this one. Just
I remember the 90s. I remember early 2000s. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, five.
A five.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go 10.
10. I'll give it a 2.
Okay.
Giving it a 5.67. You miss dancing at clubs, Beth?
No, I hate
fair
going
enough.
Dancing.
What about weddings? You dance at a wedding?
Only if I'm blackout drunk.
If it's July 3rd.
Okay, here we go. From Showgirls, Waiting in the Wings.
Waiting in the Wings.
What?
I mean, yeah, there's not a whole lot. You could say maybe a little bit Yzma.
Waiting for the Emperor to die. She wants to take over. It's not like a big, doesn't have that energy though, you know?
Yeah.
Of like a Showgirls where I'm all about Eve. I'm going to be this new star. It's mostly a chase film, I think we could say.
That's true. You could say that, definitely.
There's not a lot of, I guess maybe that unborn baby waiting in the wings.
I guess so.
Isn't every board unborn baby waiting for their moment in the spotlight?
A womb does look like a pair of wings. So yeah, you're right.
The ultimate green room, some would say.
Some would say.
Oh yeah, the baby waiting in the wings is going to save it from a zero for sure. The unborn baby.
And what are fallopian tubes if not the reproductive wings? If you had to make a silhouette?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
You shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Someone probably has that tattoo though.
A silhouette of fallopian tubes?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet so many people have fallopian tubes. Like, no joke.
Fallopian tats?
Like, I think the same number of people that have the tattoo of like pig anatomy have.
Sure.
Not the same people, but I think it's right. ubiquitous. Yeah.
I work in a restaurant. I know how to butcher a pig. And this other woman's like,
hands off my body, my choice.
Exactly. Two different people.
Yeah.
But then if a man had like a male reproductive organ tattoo, you'd be like, run for the hills. We want nothing to do with it. No good is coming from this person.
Yeah. It would be like he's like diagramming a murder or something. Like,
yeah.
Something very what are you trying gross. To commemorate on your body, sir?
You might as well tattoo an actual red flag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Waiting in the wings. A 15 for the unborn
15 baby. For the unborn baby.
Between that and Yzma, I will give it a 17.
17. I'll give it a 14. Given an average of 15.33. You know what else we judged on Waiting in the Wings? The Chipmunk Adventure.
Wow.
And then also got a 15.33. They're tied.
What?
What are the odds? There's like a less than 1% chance, or no, probably not. Probably less than 20. I don't know. I don't know how to do the math of that. It's rare to get the same category right back to back.
Back to back. But it just happened. And here we go. Wow. From Hoosiers, Teamwork.
Oh, a lot of teamwork in this one.
This one's back. Yeah. Wheels on your side.
The arc of the movie.
This is only teams. Yeah.
It's mostly teams.
And it's like, you have to work as a team. Like, that's the whole thing. Yeah, and like, absolutely. Even the mom and the kids.
The mom and the kids.
Working as a team.
But they don't do anything.
What?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they
do that.
What do they do?
They make Yzma into a pinata.
Oh, I missed that part.
What? Okay, I demand a recount on every category.
Does that change everything so much? I might have just had
what were you doing?
I had to refill my water or something. I don't know. Oh. Or I was looking up IMDb trivia.
You were
for
going
this
to christianmovie.com or whatever.
It is very easy to get lost into that. It's almost surprisingly like, oh, it's not as like, I mean, yes, their takes are like 50 years ago, but it's also not as crazy as you hoped it would be.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, it's not like the woman and wife swap screaming about Darksiders and stuff, you know?
Oh, no.
Sure.
Like, I want her to write movie reviews.
I don't want her to write them. I want her to do them.
Yeah.
I want to see her.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say like a 95.
95.
Yeah, I will go 95 as well.
95. Yeah, I'll go 95. It's mostly the movie. Given an average of 95. All right, now we are into host choice.
Yeah, so it's my turn. So I'm going to go with the category from Best in Show, which was anthropomorphism. Is that it? Anthropomorphism. So
you can only do it if you can say it.
Oh, well, then I guess I can't do it. Anthropomorphism. Yeah, I mean, that's what this whole movie's about.
Yeah.
That's it. David Spade turns into a llama. We got that squirrel that everyone's talking to, and the guards all become animals.
Everyone's
at the
talking
end.
To it.
Everyone's talking to the squirrel. I think this movie is chocked full of it.
Yeah, it's the whole point of it, I would say.
What is the point?
Well, if you've seen my socks, you know.
You know.
This movie's about a guy that's a llama.
He is such a weird character to have because he's like an asshole. And like, it's funny that he's like, you know, the face of the movie. You would think like, to me, I mean, but in my defense, I'm like, not defense, but I'm also crazy because I'm like, well, Yzma's the hero. You know what I mean? Like, she's the one you want merch of. Like, if I had to buy merch of with one of these people, it's going to be Yzma. But
I'm a gay man. Also like,
but also like you want, it's like Ursula's the favorite character in Little Mermaid, but she's not the poster. The poster is Ariel.
Unfortunately. Hmm.
And I feel the same. And also, like, David Spade's character needs to be kind of a brat so that there's a reason to have a movie. And he grows.
No, I get it. I'm just saying of, like, he's not as visually appealing to me as Yzma is.
Sure.
Right.
That's fair.
Just a gross llama.
Llamas are cute.
Are they?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. I wish them the best. I've always heard you can't trust them. Like, they're going to spit at you. They're going to bite you. They're like, well, surly.
If you treat them right.
Yeah.
I'm not abusing llamas and getting bit and
if you don't just
it.
Save all your drama for your llama, then they'll be nice to you.
Oh, I see.
You got to treat your llama like a prince.
There you go.
So you go to therapy and then go see the llama.
Exactly.
I see. You vent at therapy and then go see the llama. I just heard don't like go up expecting a hug because they're not into that. No touchy. I think it's true.
No, yeah, no touch. Don't go up expecting, you know, the old adage about llamas.
Right. Yeah.
Don't go up expecting a hug. Yeah, I'm saying 100.
100.
I will go, I'll go 100 as well.
Yeah, I'll go 100, but it's less fun in a cartoon.
Okay.
Gotta qualify it.
Well, every animal talks in a cartoon, you know. All right, Beth, the time has come for you to come up with a category that we can use to judge The Emperor's New Groove and then throw it on the wheel to potentially judge every other movie in existence.
Can it be like really specific?
Please. Yeah. Preferred.
Okay. Multiple actor. Okay. The category is Just Shoot Me. And it's multiple actors from Just Shoot Me.
And you think that makes that gayer?
That makes it gayer.
Isn't that a sort of a gay show?
It's Just Shoot Me?
It was a lot. I didn't ever watch it. It was a lot of photography.
I watched it.
It's about fashion magazine called Blush.
Yeah, but there's not a single gay character on it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, who?
I don't know.
Have you seen it? I used to watch it.
Okay, well, I don't know that you told me it was a category that makes it gayer. Well, I feel like this is new information.
Fair enough. That's on us. It's only the entire premise of the show, but that's on us.
What about like fussy chefs?
Fussy okay. chefs? Okay.
We do have fussy laundry as a category already, so that's interesting. I think that's
chefs.
Very gay. Yeah, I think that's great.
Fussy chefs. All righty.
So what would you give this Emperor's New Groove and Fussy Chefs?
We'll give it a 70.
A 70.
Here's the thing, though, is I don't think he's fussy. He's pretty much like, all right, we'll do this. Like, he's pretty, like, he's not, like, a fussy chef to me is someone who's like, we're not altering the recipe. It is what it is.
Well, I'm thinking about
the original
first
one.
First of all.
No, but the person who Kronk replaces. You're right. He was fussy because he got mad and left.
He puts his soup in a suitcase and leaves.
That's right.
I think when Kronk is like making the food, he's also being sort of fussy.
He really wants people to like it and taste it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
But he's not an asshole about it.
Yeah. I think the first chef is more fussy than Kronk. I think Kronk is pretty much like, sure, whatever. Like, he doesn't get mad that they keep changing their order and making all these weird additions and yes cheese, no cheese, this, that, and the other. But yeah, I will give it a 65.
65. It's not a big part of the movie. I don't think so.
No.
Well, you backed me into a corner.
I'll give it a 25 and fussy chefs. Giving an average of 53.33. All right, now we are into the bonus category.
These categories, as their name implies, are bonus. So they're just extra points. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to work against the overall total score. So we're going from 0 to 10, and that'll be percentage bonus points it gets.
Got it?
All right, so our first one. How would you rate The Emperor's New Groove in musical potential? Because I would say, this is not a musical.
A musical, no.
Mm-mm. Right. Could it be a musical?
I think so, definitely.
Yeah, surprised, right? It's not, actually.
I mean, how do you do a llama, though?
Well, have you seen the Julie Lion Tamar. King?
Yeah. Right. Cats?
That really riled me and John up.
You can't do animals in musicals, Mark?
I'm not saying you can't. I'm just throwing it out there as a conversation piece. How would you do it? I guess dress up a lawn chair or a office chair, tie a belt around it, and then have it, you know, cover it with some felt. No, office chair, like on wheels. And then just have it drag behind you.
Why would it be someone wearing black? Like, you know, puppeting it around.
Nobody likes that.
Again, see Lion King. Yeah.
I'm going 9.
A 9. Huge potential.
Yeah, I think it could be. I think the only thing we're working against is so much of what is fun about it are like the big sort of fight sequences and stuff like that, which I think are kind of tougher to do in a musical. So
this
I will
is
give
a
it
pure
a,
cartoon.
Yeah, I'll give it a 7.
7. Well, if they could do SpongeBob the musical, and people seem to like that. That's got manic energy too. I wonder how anybody seen SpongeBob the musical?
I have not.
I heard it's fun. Haven't seen
You've
it.
You've never seen a SpongeBob cartoon, John?
No, it's not a show that I've watched.
I saw the movie.
As if it's like Downton Abbey or something.
This is not a program I'm familiar with. No.
Jesus. I'm only watching Prime Suspect with Helen Mirren.
Thank you.
I think it is tough because what John was saying is right, because it is like such a manic cartoon that it would be tough, but it could be possible. Sure, Disney will milk any property they have.
It's true.
I'll give it a 6, giving it a 7.33, which guess what is higher than the Chipmunk Adventure. Mm-hmm. All right, our next category, queer menace. Are there any queer menaces in this movie?
I think so.
Yeah, right. Eartha Kitt and
Cusco.
Warburton. Right.
Cusco feels like, yeah, I guess. Well. I feel like Yzma is like the biggest, she's got the most like queer energy.
Mm-hmm. She's got real like drag queen energy.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, like if you're doing this on stage, you're like, is Billy Porter available? Is Titus Burgess available? You know what I mean? Like you're going,
he's in that Cinderella.
Right.
He's busy.
Titus?
Billy Porter.
Billy. Was the host of Bachelor in Paradise this season. Right. So
and he was Sebastian in The Little Mermaid on stage. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
And he was in Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, he was.
For just going through his resume.
He was in a Guys and Dolls revival that I saw. Wow. With Lord Graham.
And he's in the Kimmy Schmidt movie.
That's right. The interactive
adventure. Yeah.
You can choose.
I would say, I'm going to say 6.
6.
I will go 6 as well.
Yeah, I'll go 6. Why not? Give it an average of 6. All right. Our next category, character actress makes a big swing.
Oh, yeah. Right?
The kid. Yeah.
Yeah. 10.
You consider her a character actress?
What, you seen Ingenue?
Yeah.
Is that the only two things? Is it one or the other?
Women, it's Madonna whore. Yeah, Ingenue character actress. It's...
Or there's like wacky best friend, which she also. But
that's also a character actress.
Hey, good point, John.
That's always to hear. So she's just always Eartha Kitt. You know what I mean? She's not always necessarily disappearing into a role.
That's most. Right. That's a lot of character actors.
Yeah,
I guess so.
They're not all Margot Martindale.
True.
She's the character actress that came to mind. She's also always the same.
Tough.
Severe,
tough. I've seen some shit. All right, let's get everything together. I got a plan. You're wrong. Men, Congress. So what do you want to give? I think Yzma. It's all 10. Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, it's a 10 for me.
Wendy Malick is not doing a lot of the heavy lifting here.
No, but the waitress is.
Waitress is incredible.
Yeah. I will go 10 as well for it's Eartha Kitt.
I'll go 10. Who cares? Give an average of 10, tying it with the house bunny. Pretty good. All right, our next category, witches. How witchy is this movie?
Pretty witchy.
Wait,
a lot of potions, yeah.
Anytime you got a potion.
Yeah, 8. 8 on witchiness.
8.
I will go 8 as well.
Yeah, okay. We're all in agreement these days. What's going on? You know what only got a 3 in witches? The Chipmunk Adventure. All right, our next category, gay actors playing gay roles.
This one's tough.
This one's tough.
Yeah.
But that's so weird. You guys said there were so many gay people in this movie. You said there was
characters, but not actors.
60, but they're playing gay roles.
Yeah, so but much like
this is gay actors playing gay roles. All right. None of the actors are gay.
Yeah, why do you feel like you can't trap us with this? Like
I can try. I did want to look up the old man. Oh, that's John Fielder. He's been in a million Disney things.
Yeah.
But I think he's like so old, we have no information on his sexuality.
He's pre-genitalia.
They didn't talk about it back then.
PG, but that's also on the LGBTQIA spectrum.
Yeah. Oh, he's
LGBTQIA PG plus. He was Piglet. Aww.
He was Piglet. Mm-hmm. Piglet's a big fussy bottom, right? A pig bottom.
You could say a fussy pig bottom.
So you're giving it a 0, Beth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll also give it a 0.
I too will give it a 0. Give it an average of 0. All right, next category. Themes of mothers.
We've got some. I mean, again, Wendy Malick, she's the first pregnant woman in a Disney film, an animated Disney film.
It's not really like a theme sort of the movie, though. Kronk's like mean mom, like he wants to impress her. He wants to make her proud.
He wants her approval.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's every strong woman's burden, right? They look at them as a mother figure. Like, let her just be strong.
Don't get me started.
Thank you.
2?
A 2.
Yeah, I'll give it a 2. Why not?
Yeah, I'll give it a two. Man, we are like all now. We started all up. We're really, as the podcast has gone on, we're slowly becoming together, much like the movie itself, the characters.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Oh,
yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Family. You're my chosen family. Yay.
I am your chosen family. Rena Sanawa, I'm getting her name wrong, has a great song called Chosen Family. Check it out. It's fun. It rocks. All right. Our next category, drinks thrown in faces. Well, there's a lot of potions thrown in faces.
Potions thrown in faces.
But it doesn't have the energy of a fuck you. You know what I mean? It's not like quite the same spirit.
Yeah.
But they're also the one guy, Cusco, spits on a man.
That's true. There's camels, llama spit. So that's something.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think Eartha Kitt Yzma would like throw a drink at some point, but she never. Like they have the whole thing where they poison the goblets.
She throws a drink into
it in a plant.
Into a plant.
And then Kronk throws it behind his face.
Right.
Very funny.
So they have bad aim, but they're throwing drinks in faces.
I think they have good aim. They're doing they have good aim. They're going exactly where they want those drinks to go.
Okay. I would say one.
A one.
I'll go two, partially for the llama spitting. I feel like there's something that that energy is there.
Well, we've never been more divided. I'm going to give it a one. Giving it an average of 1.33.
What happened to us?
I don't know. What happened to us?
We're so close.
We got to figure this out before we go try to hug a llama. Mm-hmm. All right, our next category, quips. How quippy?
Oh, it's so quippy.
Is the Emperor's New Groove. Wrong lever? It's so funny when I say it, I'm sure. But...
Wrong lever.
Also, wrong lever.
This is a movie that I quote a lot.
Go on.
Yeah, what are your big quotes from this?
A pacha.
You do say that a lot. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Now and like a friend in high school who I would say that with a lot.
Uh-huh.
Were you the Cusco of the two of you and she was the Pacha?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I'll have to check with Jamie Schlickenmeier.
Please. Am I the Cusco to your Pacha?
She'd be like, who is this?
Are you on drugs?
I haven't been talked to you in years.
I'm a mom living in Denver, leave me alone. But and there's also a TikTok that uses an Yzma line where she's like,
oh,
not a llama. Popular TikTok with that.
I do love her whole run. It's not a quip, but when she describes, I'm going to turn him into a bug, put him in a box, right. Mail it to myself, and then smash him with a hammer.
Yeah,
not really quip, but fun.
Cusco's very quippy. I feel like it's like David Spade going off, being a little quipper.
Sure.
A little quipper.
Yeah, so I would say six.
Didn't he host some Bachelor thing too?
Yeah.
And he was bad?
No, the show is bad. He was perfect. He was
perfect. Rave reviews for David Spade.
I love David Spade. I think he's so, it's like my most basic opinion. I think he's so funny. It's my most chuggy opinion.
Oh boy.
Oh dear.
All right, a six for quips.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, it is so like rat-a-tat-tat as a script overall. Feels very quippy and that sort of energy about it.
I mean, I'm going to give it an eight. I think you guys are being unduly harsh for once. Oh. Giving it an average of 6.67, which is 4.67 points higher than The Chipmunk Adventure, but 2 points lower than The House Bunny. All right, now we are into the iconic categories.
So these categories are sort of broader, more overreaching categories. So we're back from 0 to 100 for these.
Oh my God.
All right, the first one. How would you rate The Emperor's New Groove in homoeroticism? How homoerotic is The Emperor's New Groove?
Pretty homoerotic in some parts.
You think?
Uh-huh.
I'm a little out of my depth on this conversation topic.
It's all right. You're safe. You're in a safe place.
You go first.
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's a lot. I mean, there's some gay panic moments, but there's nothing really erotic about this movie at all, which I think is sort of tough.
Oh. It's tough that they didn't put any erotic.
There's no, as the sun is rising, you know.
Yeah, you think by the title, his new groove is like his new asshole he likes to get fucked in or something.
That
you
what
know?
You would
but
think?
Nope.
Is that what you would think? I think you're the only one who's thinking that, Mark.
I just thought of that in the last few
as
seconds.
As in, like, that a groove is a thing that's like concave?
Or just John Goodman just ripped him a maybe? New asshole. That's your new groove.
Yeah, he got his new groove. There's an you've reforged my asshole.
There's the porn version. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
But that does not happen in this movie.
But for people who didn't see it and only knew the title and think that's what it's about, I'm gonna say a 60.
A 60. One of the most homoerotic movies you've ever seen, perhaps.
I've only seen 3 or 4 movies.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I'll have to give this one a 10.
A 10. Yeah, I'll give it a. I think it's less homoerotic than the Chipmunk Adventure for sure.
less chipmunks and loincloths, sure.
Well, you know, at least that has like the shirtless guy, you know, bathing.
That's true.
So I'll give this a 2.
All right.
Wow.
Give it an average of 24 for some reason because Beth decided to go rogue. She listened to her stupid heart. All right. Our next category. Beth, please always listen to your heart. Your heart is wonderful. I don't want you to think I meant any malice in that. But speaking of, our next category is drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch The Emperor's New Groove and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Yeah.
Whoa, your eyeglasses just flew off your face.
Zoinks.
I mean, big time, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Everything Eartha Kitt wears. Even David Spade's got like that weird curly train before he becomes a llama. He's got that weird like thing behind him. And then he is in drag at the restaurant.
Fun. Yeah. Did you think his drag, I'm probably wrong, but it reminded me of when Pee-wee does drag in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And I wondered if that, but I remember him being blue, but it was the same kind of like coat thing.
Oh, you think it's inspired?
I thought it might've been, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing.
When is he
thing.
In drag in Pee-wee's Big Adventure? I don't remember.
One that he's on the run with like the fugitive in the car and the cop is there, let me show you in that pretty dress. That scene is one of my favorite scenes because Pee-wee's like really into the drag. It's cute.
Okay.
Never seen it, but it.
Oh my God. It's under 90 minutes.
Oh, all right. I'll watch it right now. Drag I think you would inspiration like it. 95.
Yeah, I mean, again, everything Eartha Kitt wears, David Spade, even his look with the head, like, you know, his headpieces and all that stuff. There's a whole lot. I'll go 96.
96. I love that they give, a lot of times animated movies, the characters are just in one outfit, but Yzma has a lot of looks.
A parade. A whole book of them, one could say.
A book of looks.
Yeah, I'll give it 97. Why not? I think it's pretty high up there. Giving it a 96. All right. The last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is The Emperor's New Groove?
I mean, I think it's pretty campy just in like the rat-a-tat nature of it and just how like just absurd it is and just will go any random place it wants. Like it doesn't feel necessary. Like, I don't say this as a criticism. It doesn't feel grounded. It doesn't feel like they're like, is that the right tone? It's just like, whatever. Right. If someone pitched an idea and people laughed in the room, they're like, it goes in.
Yeah, I feel like the insanity. You mean like a comedy? The insanity of like the bug restaurant alone. Like I feel like that restaurant is just like the campiest choice they could have made in that moment.
Yeah.
Also, there is literal like camp. Like there's like
right.
squirrel
they're tents
camp.
And they're little
camping.
Mm-hmm.
70.
I will go. I mean, also like thinking like Eartha Kitt's outfits. Her entire performance is camp. I will go, I'm going to go 90.
Mm. 90. All right. I got a quick list of campy things. Here we go. Inspiring a documentary about your troubled production. Really seeing a woman's wrinkles for the first time. Scale models, smashing the bust of your enemies. Eartha Kitt's vocal performance is just as good as Robin Williams' Genie, except it has moments of subtlety. Mixing up your poisons, angels and devils on your shoulder. The camera pulling too far back and accidentally focusing on a bug and a monkey. Vindictive squirrels, hidden Mickeys, animated awkward small talk. Diner lingo, alternative happy birthday songs you only ever hear in restaurants. Sleeping with cucumber slices on your arm, on your eyes. Sleeping with cucumber slices on your eyes. Cocking your pitchfork. The Yzma kitty is wonderful. Chipmunk dressed as a scout. And finally, ending your fun, zippy movie with an absolutely dreadful sting ballad. So I'll give it an 88.
Did you write those?
I did write those.
Does it every episode.
That's amazing.
Thank you. See, I'm writing those. That's why I missed the pinata thing.
Yeah.
Well, some of them happened after the pinata, but.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Someone being, you missed someone literally being turned into a pinata.
That's on me. That's on me. All right, finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate. We all vote yes or no whether it gets the bonuses for this one.
All right. Okay. A 15% bonus of all the points for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does The Emperor's New Groove have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
No, it does not.
No, they never actually come out and say it. So I think, well, it does have like a spirit of homosexuality. There's not really.
I don't even know if it has a spirit of homosexuality.
It has a joie de vivre that's very gay about it, I would say.
A swagger? A
pre-genital male.
Or the kid.
A groove of homosexuality?
Yes. Mm. We get it, Mark.
I just meant like a Pet Shop Boys song.
Sure.
All right. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it. We're done.
All right, Beth. So now that we have gone through all the categories, do you still think that that Emperor's New Groove will score over 50%?
Oh God. Yeah.
Do you think it will beat The Little Mermaid?
I'm not so sure now. There were a couple of things that I ranked high that made Mark mad.
That's okay.
So that bumped
it doesn't
up.
Affect the math, that's, but sure.
That happened to Little Mermaid too.
It happens okay. all the time.
Okay. Yeah, I think it will. I think it'll be an exact tie with the Little Mermaid. No, I think it
will
be. I think it'll be right around the same. Maybe so
like
a
how many points
higher.
Off? Like one or like
five.
I could just tell you
within five points. Okay.
All right. You should have said 10, but out of a total possible 2,469.27 points, The Emperor's New Groove has scored 1,604.60 points, giving it a percentage of 64.98%, making it the 50th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Die Hard, but gayer than Ginger Snaps. And I should say Little Mermaid is at 77.02. And this was 64.90. So about 13 points different. 12, 13 points.
All right.
Higher is
not too far.
Is better.
Yes.
Okay. Gayer. I mean,
it's not golf rules. I understand.
No.
Okay.
It's marijuana rules. Higher is better.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
Wow. Respectable though. I think that's still, I think that's respectable for, you know, and also it did beat Chipmunk Adventure is only 43.20.
Okay. Got
so
it.
There you go.
So you trounced that.
Not my goal, but.
But a pleasant surprise nonetheless.
Nice milestone all the same.
Well, Beth, thank you so much for bringing your insights, your quips, your history, your wisdom. To our lovely show. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
No. Well, you know, I have a defunct podcast about the musical Rent.
Oh, really?
John has been a guest. That's people true. Could go through all the episodes. It's one of those things where you're like, it's done. So you
it's
can
evergreen.
Catch up. You know,
right.
like you're not going to be like constantly trying to catch up. If there's like 60 episodes. We do sometimes one new episode a year. And
really?
When Rent news comes up.
Sure.
And sure. So, yeah, it's called Everything is Rent. You can go back and watch that.
Watch it.
Watch your
just
phone.
Stare at my phone goes. As it goes.
Yeah, that's a viewing experience for that.
Okay.
Do I say my social media here?
If you sure. want to, sure, yeah.
I don't really post much. On Instagram, okay. I'm Appel Sass, APPELSASS, also Apple's Ass, not... not what I meant it to be, but I realized later that it is a Pell's Ass. And yeah,
well, if you ever want to pivot, you can, it's already there.
Yeah, and we'll get an OnlyFans or something.
It's too confusing over there. Is okay, there porn? Is there not? I'm not getting involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Well, thank you so much. So much fun to always chat with you, and
we'll be right back.
what fun.
What delight.
Are you? Do you like doing these two animated movies back to back?
I love it. I only want to do animated movies back to back.
Really?
No, I don't mind at all.
Do you like animated movies generally?
I do.
Top 10 genre for you?
Sure. Top 10 genre. Yeah, I love animated movies. They're very fantastical.
Sure.
Like a musical. Sure.
Is musical your favorite genre?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but I don't think of things in like, this is my favorite. This is my number one movie. This is my favorite thing to do. I just sort of
enjoy. You don't have
them.
To be so aggressive about it.
Okay.
Just be like, oh, I love a musical, you know? Like if you're sure. in a video store with the rest in peace, what would be the first section you went to? I guess it also depends on your mood.
Depends on the mood. I would probably go to gay lesbian to sort of support indie films.
I don't believe you at all.
Really? Okay.
I think you'd be getting you be superstar so with Molly Shannon.
Oh, Mark, you caught me. You know me so well.
Oh, yeah, anime's great.
Awesome. Do you know what else is great? Hearing from our listeners. We got an email from Brian, and it is titled Yearly Awards, the Queen's or Better Oscar/Academy Pun. And Brian writes, hello, I'm an avid film lover, and each year compile my nominations for the Academy Awards, 20 of the Academy's main categories, plus including two of my own, Best Vocal wow. Motion Capture Performance and Best Performance by an Ensemble Cast. It's a hobby, flirting with obsession of mine, and it brought to mind an idea for you two. I think you should take all the films you watch at the end of each year and create your own awards. It could be as simple as Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress. Could be based on your categories, Best Camp, Most Over the Top Wardrobe, Best Quip. Could be a mixture of the two. You could create an academy of previous guests who you send the nominations to and have them vote on the winners. The actual award ceremony could be a live episode on Zoom. The possibilities, while not endless, are plentiful. Love to hear your thoughts. And I think it would be a fun way to celebrate your year of movies. Whether anyone reads this or not, you both are wonderful. And the podcast is a joy to listen to. Sorry for rambling, Brian. Well, do not apologize.
Hardly rambling. Brian. Very focused, I would say.
Very much so.
Very clear. I think that's a great idea. I think that's
super
fun.
Yeah, it could be a lot of fun.
The problem is I watch things and don't remember them.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, what was that movie? Who was that again? But it sounds more important than the Oscars themselves.
Definitely. More relevant. More what people are talking about.
Absolutely. I think that's super fun.
I think that's a fun idea.
Like, I do like the idea of basing it on like, I mean, also we have the numbers to tell us like what was the campiest movie of the year.
That's right.
We could do fan choices, I guess.
Fan choices. We could do like best new categories. You know, the people brought
best
in.
New category. That's fun.
It's a fun one.
Yeah. Kindest wheel.
Kindest wheel.
Like, oh, the wheel was really friendly to the, like the, all the categories were like really relevant to this movie.
Sure,
that's
sure.
not a very interesting category.
No, that's
an in memoriam. Hopefully of things people we wish had died or
that's
trends.
That's very macabre.
Thank you.
All right.
I think that's fun.
Yeah, I think that's
we could also take these categories and apply it to the actual movies that came out this year. What was like the campiest movie of 2021?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's like just more movies we need to watch then.
But we usually see all like the big ones anyways.
Most of the big ones, sure.
Let's face it.
We
like
live in LA.
Movies.
We go to movies.
We live in LA. You got to be able to talk to people. We only talk about
the
movies.
The only thing you can talk about in LA, movies.
People actually don't like talking about movies.
Do you think that's true?
I think a lot. I think, or there's like a finite amount. There's like 30 minutes or 30 seconds. I'm like, I liked it. It was cool. Yeah. I liked it too. I like this part. Yeah. Okay.
I do think, yeah, there's because of social media, especially people have gotten exhausted with takes of like,
yes.
like we see something now, we have to be like, this is my take on it. As opposed to just like, I just saw this thing. It was lovely.
And I liked it. There were parts yeah. I liked and parts I didn't like. It wasn't perfect, but I enjoyed it overall. Like you can't, that doesn't travel. You're not going to go viral.
You're
with
not
that
getting
kind
likes with that. No,
no people need, you have to either love it or hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who
people
does love it, if you hate it is stupid
they're wrong
and wrong. Yeah. Social
wrong
media
with
is
this
awful
whole industry.
Absolutely. Social media is poison. I've always said it.
Always.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens. You can follow me on Letterboxd where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yeah, so you can email us at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens, and let us know what you think. Any other ideas? We love hearing from you guys.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Let's put a pin in that one.
We're putting a pin in this one. Thank you, Brian. Yes, and also we have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out. And also we have a Patreon. If you go to Tool Queens, the Patreon, search for Tool Queens, the retirement plan. You get more of this every week. And right now we're in the midst of our Child's Play series. We're looking to see what is the gayest Chucky movie.
It's been a lot of fun. And next week, very exciting time of year, we're starting the return of Five Cold Screams.
Ooh.
5 weeks of horror movies. And we're kicking it off with Resident Evil Apocalypse, the second Resident Evil film.
Nice.
Have you seen any of them, John?
I think I've seen the first one. Is that the one where someone is supposed to die but doesn't?
That might be all of them, but yes.
But that's like the premise of
Mila Jovovich, red dress.
I'll go look through my notes.
There's a robot, the first one has like a little robot or a AI is like taking the form of this like little girl.
Oh, I've not seen that movie.
Okay, you're not missed. Have you played any of the games?
No.
There, Resident Evil 4 might be my favorite video game of all time.
Oh, all right then.
Incredible. They're scary, but goofy.
That is your favorite.
Kind of like us.
That is your favorite.
That's my sweet spot. I don't know. But that's it for us. We'll see you next time. So watch that movie and stay safe, everyone. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.